Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, the Irish rugby team will attempt to make history by progressing beyond the quarterfinals of the Rugby World Cup for the first time. But standing in their way, one of the most feared teams in rugby, New Zealand. Former Ireland international Bernard Jackman and Gregor Paul of the New Zealand Herald join me now to preview the match. And Bernard, you're at the airport on the way, is that right?
Yeah, I'm one of thousands that seems to be in Dublin Airport this morning trying to, and I just met people in the queue there going via Frankfurt, Eindhoven, trying to get back to Paris in time for the game tomorrow night. So look at the excitement has been brilliant all through the World Cup, but look at as we come to play the All Blacks, the sense of anticipation and fear and nerves are very, very high.
Yeah, all that. And that news I just brought our listeners before the break, Mac Hansen taking part in the captain's run at the Stade de France, the full captain's run, and his leg was strapped up, but he did it. Good news?
Yeah, great news. I mean, if he can play, having obviously gone off with a calf injury last week against Scotland, and the nature of being a fast-twitched, fibre type of guy, to come back in 7 days would be brilliant. And a real boost. Obviously, we've lost James Ryan, but realistically, you know, we have a pretty strong squad, very good injury list, considering how late we are in the competition. So it won't come down to injuries. We're very lucky.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about the match overall?
Look, at I'm very hopeful. I mean, obviously, massive respect for the All Blacks. They're an incredible side, and I've gone to places in this World Cup that we can only dream about and are dreaming about at the moment. So the only difference is, I think the same aura isn't there about the All Blacks, because obviously we managed to beat them in the recent history, and obviously they lost the first game in the group stages to France. But we certainly know that we're going to have to bring a performance level that's above and beyond anything we've ever done before to get through tomorrow. But there's also that belief that this team are capable of rising once again and hopefully finding a way to win.
Mm-hmm. And Gregor, we have fear, we have excitement, we have nervousness. Is it the same for you?
I'd probably say so. I'm not sure if there's fear. I don't know if the All Blacks really do fear as such, but there's definitely a sense of, well, this is unusual, unprecedented, I suppose, for the All Blacks to be going into a World Cup knockout game very much as the underdogs. Mm-hmm. I think that all the betting agencies have them that way. I certainly feel that most New Zealanders would see it that way. Ireland have dominated them, really, in the last, not just last year, but probably if you go over the last 4 or 5 years, Ireland have put results on the board that, you know, they've beaten them, and they've beaten them comfortably at times. So there's probably not a huge amount of confidence in New Zealand about how this game might turn out. But there's always that feeling that there's a performance in the All Blacks somewhere at this tournament. They're probably going to put one down, and it really has to be this weekend. Otherwise, they're going back to New Zealand.
Now, you've written about Ireland, and you've said that there's a growing sense that Ireland have become increasingly ungracious the more they have won. Tell me what you're seeing that makes you think that.
I think there needs to be a little bit of self-awareness when you're the world number one team and you've been there for a while. People start to pick up and watch, and you know, you get more analysed when you're the world number one team. Like, the All Blacks had that for decades. You know, everyone has a view about them. But I don't think I would be telling people anything that they couldn't possibly be aware of. That, you know, the Irish captain, love the guy. You know, he's fantastic, Johnny Sexton, brilliant player. Love the way he plays. Love his passion. Love his commitment. But he does have a way about him, of the way he talks to referees, the way he tries to get, you know, decisions to go his way. He, you know, he certainly, when he was out in New Zealand last year, he had a habit of, you know, speaking his mind to some of the All Blacks at times that they didn't really appreciate. He had a bit of a verbal exchange with Dean Coles on the touchline. And, of course, Peter O'Mahony had his famous sledge of Sam Kane that I won't repeat on the air, but it was very funny, but it's been remembered. By people in New Zealand about, you know, what was said, how these guys conducted themselves. And I think that's what we're seeing at the moment. We're seeing a couple of characters in that Irish team that are extremely passionate about how they play and how they perform, but probably it's a different style to what New Zealanders are used to from their own All Blacks in terms of how you conduct yourself.
What do you say to that, Bernard?
Yeah, look, I think maybe it's difficult to see that in your own country. I mean, I think some of the All Black captains, and you mentioned Johnny Sexton there, the Richie McCaws, the Sean Fitzpatricks, I grew up watching them influence referees and taking no prisoners on the field, and rightly so. I mean, I don't think we should apologise for that. These players, both All Blacks and Irish players, are incredibly motivated and passionate about trying to win for their country. And the All Blacks had that. They had that aura about them. And it's not so long ago, I was part of an Irish team where we went in to try and swap jerseys with the All Blacks after the game, and the Irish jersey wasn't good enough. You know, they didn't want to swap it because they told us they'd worked too hard to get that All Black jersey. And I understand that's their choice. But that's the level that the All Blacks were at compared to Ireland. And now we've joined them. I don't say we've surpassed them. We certainly haven't. We have a long way to go. But we are number one in the world. We hope that we can do something special this World Cup. And I don't see any arrogance about this Irish team at all, to be honest. And fans either. The only thing that's changed is we actually hope we have a chance, and the rankings would say we have a chance. The bookies think we have a chance, and tomorrow we'll see if we're good enough to be, you know, one of the best teams in the world and the best team in the world over the last 100 years. But I don't see that arrogance, to be honest. But I can understand from other countries how you look to try and pick up something that that maybe you can help you build a bit of a cause.
Is that what you're doing, Gregor?
Oh, not really. I mean, I think if you're honest, like 60,000 Irish people in Paris tomorrow night will be behind Ireland and love Johnny Sexton. But I think if you ask the people in Munster, I don't really know that much about Irish rugby, but when he's wearing a Leinster jersey and he's getting into the referee and he's getting into the Munster players, not everyone in Ireland loves him at that point either. But when you're coming together for a World Cup, And you're all behind one purpose. It's a green jersey. Everybody's behind them at that point. But I think it would be naive to say that people in Ireland wouldn't be aware of, you know, how he conducts himself and how he, you know, his behaviour when he's in a Leinster jersey. I'm sure that everyone's more conscious of it at that point.
But you heard Bernard's story there about the All Blacks refusing to swap jerseys with the Ireland team, and then you've accused the Irish team, or at least Peter O'Mahony, of lacking class and respect. I mean, refusing to swap a jersey is pretty disrespectful, would you say?
Oh, look, hugely. Oh, I'm not into, you know, they said they did this or we did that or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. Like, whatever happened back in Bernard's day, I'm unaware of these things, and he's right. You know, there's been All Black captains. Fitzpatrick probably irritated the whole of the world, the way that he conducted himself, you know, because he had a way of influencing. He stood up for his team. He did all those things. I think if you go through history, you're going to find players, you know, McCaw drove people mad, the way he played. So I think it's there's nothing new or different about this. But as I went back to the start, when you're the world's number one team, you're under more scrutiny, you're under more focus, and that's why these things get brought up.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, we have to be careful about this when we're going to meet New Zealand. And I heard Donal Lenihan saying, look, they're not the team that they were in 2015. But Donal was very careful to sound a note of caution and remind us of the 96 points they put up against Italy. And that's probably the right way to go into this game, isn't it?
No, 100%. This All Black team still has a huge amount of quality and may win this World Cup. And you know, the story about the jerseys, I mean, that never got out. The only reason I'm telling you now is because we're being accused of being arrogant. The only answer to that is get yourself to a level where they want that Irish jersey. You know, they want to be able to say that beating Ireland is a decent result. And this Irish team have worked away quietly, I think, to be honest, to get to that level. And but tomorrow is another significant test. It's like South Africa was, like Scotland was. And there's obviously that quarterfinal barrier that we haven't got past before. So it's going to be fascinating. It's a bounce of a ball tomorrow, I think, if both teams play at their best. And I said we've been lucky with injuries, and hopefully we're lucky with that bounce of the ball.
Gregor, does the New Zealand team, do you think, respect the Ireland rugby team?
Oh, hugely. There's never been an issue about that. I wouldn't have thought anyone would have thought otherwise. I don't know about historically, but if we're talking in the last decade, this is the greatest modern rugby rivalry that we have. You know, like the All Blacks and Springboks is quite an intense rivalry, and that goes back a long, long time. But if you look in the last 7 or 8 years, this has been a brilliant series of games between these two teams. And look, if there's a bit of edge and there's a bit of niggle and things are said on the field, it only adds to it. It doesn't detract or remove any of the underlying respect that both teams have for each other. And you know, even before Ireland got their breakthrough victory, there were a few games there where they were colossally close to getting it. In 2012 out in New Zealand, I think they were, you know, a drop goal for New Zealand in the last minute, and then the game in 2013 when New Zealand rescued it from, you know, the ends of the earth. So it probably goes back even a bit longer. There's absolutely no doubt that right now New Zealand would absolutely swap their jersey for an Irish one. And I think they've been clear about that all week, that, you know, Ireland deserve to be the world's number one team. They deserve all the praise we're getting at the moment. But as the All Blacks keep coming back to it, like on Saturday night, they don't need to be the best team in the world to win the game. Mm-hmm. They just need to be the best team on Saturday night to win the game.
And how significant is the fact that Mark Talay won't be there? He broke the team curfew, I understand. Is that going to be an important factor, Gregor?
Probably not. Primarily because the guy that's replacing him has been, you know, really, really close to being in the team anyway, and it's been a sort of 51-49 decision going for Mark Talia at the moment, and the other guy's just a fraction behind. So in terms of what they put on the field, no, the Lester Fanganuka is the name of the guy coming in. He's a big, powerful ball runner. He'll bring a lot dimension to the All Blacks game, so they're not going to really miss a huge deal or be without, you know, without attacking possibilities with him on the field. And look, the fact that they've dealt with it, you know, Mark infringed team protocol. We don't know exactly what he did. I think he just came home late one night. The fact that they've dealt with it, they've been upfront about it. The senior players have agreed that he can't play this weekend. I don't think it will be a lingering issue for the All Blacks to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Bernard, in your experience, if there is a discipline issue like that so close to such an important match, does it impact the rest of the team?
No, I don't think so. I think once it's dealt with, and the way the All Blacks would operate and the Irish team would operate, the senior players, the leadership group would be involved in that. So, no, I don't think so. It actually can cause more trouble if it's allowed slide.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone knows the rules, and if you step outside of that, you'll face the consequences. So I agree. And they also have really good depth in that position as well. So the guy coming in is actually a different profile of player and may actually suit this game better.
Okay, and just on how Ireland deals with this favourites tag going in against New Zealand, Bernard, like one of the reasons given for Ireland's failure at the last Rugby World Cup was performance anxiety around that.
Yeah, look, I think they've been working on this for 4 years, Claire. So Gary Keegan, who formerly worked with the Dubs, winning, I think, four or five All-Irelands, he's part of that. He worked with Irish Boxing. He's in as the sports psychologist. And also Farrell himself is a different type of personality. It's interesting. So when he took over, he said, look, it's all about the World Cup. And over the last year, he's changed that. He said, look, we can't be just judged on whether we're a semi-final team or potential winners or get locked in the quarterfinal. We've got to try and be the best version of ourselves. And if you look at the two games in the group stage that we were under pressure for, South Africa and Scotland, that pressure didn't, you know, get to us at all. Whereas in other World Cups, you've seen those cracks in the group stages at key points. So the signs are that, you know, we may get beaten by a better team, but I don't think it's going to come down to performance anxiety or mental stress. I think they have built up a really solid way of dealing with that. And that's a great thing. Like, we shouldn't be talking about whether Johnny Sexton is a good captain or Peter Mahoney said something to Sam Kane or the All Blacks didn't swap jerseys. We should be talking about two unbelievable teams playing tomorrow night in Paris where the stakes are so high that effectively winning or losing will affect the next 4 years. And likewise for the Irish players, particularly the Irish players, obviously for the All Blacks to win a World Cup is life-changing. But for these Irish players, they're only 3 weeks potentially away from potentially winning a World Cup. And that is a life-changing moment. So, you know, the stakes are so high. And we're all lucky enough to be either there or watching or listening to it on radio. And it's going to be incredible.
What do you think of that, Gregor, that's really what we should be focusing on?
Yeah, look, absolutely. It is going to potentially, hopefully, both teams, thrive under the pressure of the occasion. Hopefully, looking at each other, the respect they have, the enormity of the opportunity that they both have brings the best out of them to both play at the maximum, which is what everybody wants to see. And look, there's some fantastic players on both sides. There's some real big physical guys out there. It'll be a clash of styles to some extent as well. I would imagine that, you know, there's a lot of strategy going on. We haven't mentioned yet the fact that there's a former Ireland coach inside the New Zealand camp as well. You know, the guy that was in charge of them at the last World Cup is now inside the New Zealand team. What is he bringing? What knowledge has he got? He's presumably got some kind of useful intelligence to offer up the All Blacks. And he wasn't really heavily involved in the July series last year, Joe. He wasn't quite embedded with the All Blacks the way he is now. So I don't think Ireland have encountered a Joe Schmidt-inspired All Black team. So what kind of impact will that have? And everyone knows he's a clever guy. And I got a wee feeling that the All Blacks have been keeping a few things back that Joe will have been analysing, you know, to the small hours of every night, looking at, you know, where the opportunities might sit for New Zealand, because Ireland are, you know, they're beautifully coached, they're a wonderfully structured team, but that gives opportunity to New Zealand to pick apart what they've been doing and to come up with a few plans of their own. So, like, I think everybody's looking forward to it.
Listen, Gregor, if you're playing mind games with it, it's working. Bernard, is it working on you?
Yeah, well, luckily they won't. I won't have any effect on the game tomorrow. So you can play mind games with me all you want. But it's fascinating. Look, it's great for us to be in a situation where we're not. We know we have a fighter's chance, and I think the Joe Schmidt factor, like, he is probably the best coach that was ever in Ireland, and what he sees in this Irish defence and how he tries to attack it is just one of the fascinating subplots that, you know, over 80 minutes tomorrow is going to play out.
Listen, enjoy the game, Bernard. Safe trip over there. And Gregor, to you, thank you very much for joining us. And let's hope it's a great game. Isn't that the main thing? Kickoff is at 8 o'clock on 8 o'clock tomorrow night, Virgin Media 1. Full live commentary from Michael Corcoran and Donal Lenihan on RT Radio 1. And that programme will start at 7:30. A mention too, of course, for our footballers tonight going out in the Euro 2024 qualifying match against Greece at the Aviva Stadium tonight at 7:45. So there'll be live coverage on RT2 and the RT player from 7 o'clock, and live commentary on RT2FM's Game On. And good luck to both teams.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.